This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. And again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website does contain quite a little information that you might be interested in. It contains this program, so you can re-listen to it there, and it contains the weekly meditation that I write, and you might be interested in that. It also has questions and answers on some things that I've been asked over the years, and it has the story of my conversion and my wife's conversion. So you might want to check the website out, and if you've got prayer requests or any other comments you'd like to make on the program, you can contact me either through regular mail or through the website or through email, which is on the website. Now, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program if you're interested in contacting me. Today we're going to continue in Luke chapter 9, and we're going to continue with the cost of discipleship. We've noted as we got down through the section on the demon who was difficult to cast out, that even though we have faith in the Lord for salvation, our faith for things that we need in this life is sometimes lacking. And it was in the case of the disciples. It was in the case of the man who wanted this demon cast out. And you'll remember how that the Lord said in this, in Luke 9 and verse 42, that actually in verse 41, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And we discussed whether the faithless and perverse generation was the disciples who couldn't cast him out, or whether it was the man who wanted this demon cast out of his son. But since the Lord seems to be addressing the man himself, "Bring your son here," I'm going to assume that he's talking about the man who wanted the demon cast out, that he was asking for the Lord to do this, but really didn't think that he could. Although we mentioned last time that our own faith, those of us who are saved, sometimes in practical things, our faith is lacking as well. And so as we come down through this section, he now tells the disciples in verse 44, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." And this is something the disciples do not want to believe. Verse 45 says that, "But they did not understand this saying, and it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying." Now, the reason it was hidden from them is because this was a case where it didn't make sense to them. And so when it didn't make sense to them, in a sense, it's like the gospel being hidden from those who do not believe. We read, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them." And as we look at the gospel and preach it, we marvel at the people who hear it and simply do not understand it. And it's because they have their minds made up. The old saying is, "Do not confuse me with the facts. My mind's already made up." And people would like to believe that salvation is by something that they do for God, and it's just hard for them to understand that salvation is provided for them by God. It's something that God has done for us. And then after we're saved, as we look at this chapter, we can see that we become disciples. And instead of living for self, it is normal for a disciple to want to live for the Lord. And we're finding out that there's a cost associated with living for the Lord. So as we come down to this section, we find out that in verse 46, "A dispute arose amongst them as to which of them should be greatest." Isn't it interesting that we all want to be top dog, whether it be in our companies, whether it be in athletic events, whether it be in the thing that we think we're good at? We want to be top dog. "And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him, and said to them, 'Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whosoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you will be great.'" He who is least among you will be great. And so what he's really saying here is that greatness in the kingdom of God does not come by being top dog. It comes by being the servant. And it's hard for us to know how to be the servant, because sometimes we want to be the best servant we could be so that we can be top dog. And the Lord is really saying, you don't need to be occupied with yourself. You need to be occupied with others. You need to be occupied with me. And the one thing that a child does is a child trusts people. And we need to trust the Lord. We need to be willing to sacrifice ourselves for others. And instead of trying to make a name for ourselves, we make a name for the Lord. And our purpose is to magnify and exalt Him. But it's in all of our hearts to want to be the best, to want to be looked up to. And He's just saying, be awfully careful, because the way men judge is not the way I judge. And even though salvation is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your reward in heaven after you're saved is going to be based upon your service and upon your willingness to be, to spend and be spent for me, and to be like a little child who is not the one that everybody looks to for guidance, for orders, for direction. The child is a dependent person. And we as Christians need to be dependent upon the Lord, and we need to be simple like a little child would be. Then John, in verse 49, John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And here we see two problems with regard to discipleship. The first one is that we want everyone to be in our little group when it comes to serving the Lord. And the second one relates to it. There are certain classes of people that we simply do not get along with. In this case, the Samaritans did not get along with the Jews. The Jews did not get along with the Samaritans. And so when the Lord was setting his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, the Samaritans would not receive him as he passed through their territory, because they did not like the Jews, and the Jews did not like them. And it becomes difficult for us to preach the gospel when there are these kinds of prejudices. And when we look at this matter of our desire to have people in our little group when it comes to serving the Lord, we have to admit that there are a lot of people, at least in my case, I have to admit that there's a lot of people that I'm not really in fellowship with in terms of their doctrine and in terms of the things that they do in the name of the Lord. But the Lord says that that's between them and the Lord. We're not to forbid them, because if they're for the Lord, they are on our side. I think, and maybe I'm just being willing to justify my own actions here, but I think there's a difference between not resisting what others are doing for the Lord and being in full fellowship with what others are doing for the Lord. There's many groups out there that are promoting things in the name of the Lord that I personally cannot promote. They're promoting them politically. They're promoting them religiously. Some of them are heavy into the charismatic gifts in such a way that I think they are more interested in the signs and the wonders that they think they can perform than they are in the gospel. And those are things that I'm personally not in fellowship with. There's some groups out there that constantly promote the fact that God chooses some people to be saved. And I think God chooses the saved to be his people. And so I don't agree with those things. But I do know that as long as they love the Lord, that while I can't be in full fellowship with what they're doing, neither, and they don't have to be in my little group, neither am I supposed to be out there trying to destroy the work that God may be doing through them. So I have to be careful and I have to be balanced. It's one thing to be in full fellowship with people, because doctrine is important in the way we preach the gospel. But it's another thing to say that we are in the place of God and should judge another man's work that he says he's doing for the Lord. If a person is promoting the name of the Lord Jesus in our day, we need to encourage that, because we know that the name of the Lord Jesus is a name that is reproached today. And as a matter of fact, if you become a Christian, you're going to find out that there is reproach associated with being a Christian in a public way. And when you're called upon to honor the Lord, there's going to be people that are not going to appreciate that. So if he's not against us, he's on our side. And it's one thing not to stand against their work, and it's another thing to be in full fellowship with them if they are, in our day, not doctrinally correct. And I say that knowing that they would say I'm not doctrinally correct, but I have my convictions associated with my study of the scripture, and there are certain things that are very important to me in the preaching of the gospel. And one of them is that everybody can be saved, but the only people that can be saved are those who repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, they quit arguing with God and they take God at his word. And once they do that, they are saved eternally, because our salvation does not depend on what we are doing for God. It depends on what God has done for us. And so we don't want to be a sectarian in the way that we do our work for the Lord. We want to be as inclusive as we can be, and we don't want to be prejudiced against certain people and not preach the gospel to them. And those who are preaching the gospel, we want to make sure that we leave them with the Lord if they're doing things that we're not in fellowship with. But we should not be out there publicly criticizing them and trying to resist their work. Now, I have to again drop back and say that there are some groups who are using the gospel in a way that I cannot associate with, and I will rebuke, and that's those people who are preaching against a few deadly sins and are making a public name that is a reproach for us on college campuses and places like that, where they are not really preaching the gospel of grace, but they are preaching a gospel of condemnation and hate. And I think you know what I'm talking about. There's a few groups that go around the country, and because they stand against certain major sins, they will go to funerals of our military people, and they will they'll take a stand there that, as far as I'm concerned, defiles the name of the Lord Jesus and shows no loving kindness. And so even though they would say they're serving the Lord, in a case like that, whether I'm right or wrong, I would not in any way associate with that. And I stand against the sin killers who preach only about certain major sins and think they're doing God's service. So we preach that all men have sinned. We preach that we all need to be saved. And we preach that once we're saved eternally, and that once we're saved, we are servants of the Lord who should act like little children. Now, we pray for our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this program, and for those who have listened, we just thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation. We commit the program to thee in our Savior's name. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.